I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
No, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
Football on Off the Ball.
We see so much about clubs now expecting not managers but head coaches. You know, Ruben Amorim and Enzo Maresca, maybe the first people ever sacked in English football for their lack of corporate synergy. Whereas City have been very different. City have been kind of a concierge service for Guardiola. So I can imagine that can be a hard thing to give up.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The Yellow iPod on Off the Ball. Catch live and exclusive national radio commentary of the Men's League of Ireland Premier Division on Off the Ball all season.
Welcome along to another episode of the Yellow iPod here on Off the Ball. I'm Ben Symes, filling in for the off-duty Stephen Doyle this week. But I'm delighted to say that our A-team of analysts are all back on duty. Gareth McGlynn is fully recovered from his skiing sessions abroad. And Vinnie Perth is back in as well. Lads, how are you getting on?
All good, Ben. How's it going?
All good. It's been an absolutely hectic week of League of Ireland action. We've had Friday games. We've had Monday games. We've one more round of Friday games before we go into a huge World Cup playoff for Ireland next week. We've had a lot to get through, lads. But before we get into that, we say this Friday, our live and exclusive commentary game is from Dalyman Park. We'll have Bohemians versus Dundalk with the LOI Pod's regular host, Stephen Doyle, will be back for that. Live on News Talk from 7 p.m. on Friday. Lads, I suppose we'll start with those two teams, probably the two hot teams of the week. Dundalk with 6 goals across the 2 days, but Bohemians still unbeaten after 4 games in a row. A big win against Galway on Friday and then a nil-all draw against Shelburne on Monday. Probably more happened off the pitch than happened on the pitch with a bit of fracas before the game between the backroom teams off both sides. But I suppose, first of all, Gareth, how long can Bohemians keep this up for?
Yeah, they're going well. They're looking strong. They just don't seem to be letting up. I mean, obviously, clean sheets are the big advantage for what I see. We talked about it last year. That centre-half kind of area for them was a big, big problem. They had players in on loan. They were trying players out. They brought in Hickey and Todd this year, and it just looks solid. Mullen has really impressed me at left back, and then like he's been in and out, he's been injured. Flores has gone in there, and then Power as well. But they don't look to be relenting. And then when you look at the top end of the pitch, I mean, the quality that they have, and that's all without Douglas Taylor as well. Whelan started against Shells again, looked lively. I don't see them taking the foot off the lever, you know. I see them going ahead. They were probably, I didn't see the game on Monday night, but looking by the highlights, they were probably the better team. And if anyone deserved to win it, they deserved to win it. So going away to Derry, taking all 3 points, going away to Shelburne, being the best team, having already beaten Rovers, it's a serious start.
You spoke about the attacking options, and they added another. Zane Myers made his debut on Monday night. A really rapid, I mean, if you've seen some of the highlights of him, rapid winger, really tricky winger, came in from Hull City. I suppose the last thing defenders from other teams would have wanted to see was another tricky attacking player from Bohemians. Vinny, do you think they can keep this up at both ends of the pitch?
Yeah, I do. I think if I had one concern, it would be defensive, but that makes no sense because they've started the season so well. They're rock solid. They haven't really conceded goals. Obviously, bar those 2 late goals to Shamrock Rovers, by and large, you've kept clean sheets, which is important. Obviously, Todd is a huge signing, and it still makes no sense that they let him go. But Gareth Roy, Mullen and Power have done really well. And when they've needed other people, whether it's being Flores or whoever, to go into that fullback position, Morahan, they've done really well. So, I think the top end of the pitch, Reynolds has huge options in terms of being able to make sort of bringing in different people. So, I think they have real options. Particularly in the forward areas, as we said, their midfield is good as anybody. Colin Whelan continues to shoot out the lights, well, then they've got a real chance. I think the league is there to be won this year. I don't think Rovers are as far ahead as I thought he would be. albeit it's early, but I still think they're vulnerable to a team putting a run together, and it's up to somebody to do that. It will be a Dublin club now, you feel, because I've seen Derry live now three times, and I don't see them being in the title race. So the Dublin derbies will be important, will be very, very important over the season. And when you look at Ball's record in them, they've been decent, so I think they've a real chance.
Yeah, the only two goals that they've conceded were past the 90th minute in that Dublin derby in Dalymount, which is hugely impressive. Look, we've spoken time and time again about Sam Togg and Pat Hickey and the fullbacks coming in there as well. I was really impressed. I don't know what you thought, lads, about the game on Friday. I thought they probably, for all that game, I was kind of wondering, were they ever going to break them down? It was the same with the Waterford game when they went down 1-1-0 and the goal came from a corner. And I've been impressed with how they've managed to get over the line in those sorts of games. The games where you kind of, you're really relying on your attacking players to create something against a side that are going to sit in really against you. We know how good, obviously, that Bowes defence has been. But if they can keep up picking up those wins, it's there to be won. On the other hand, they've got a game on Friday versus a side in absolutely free-flowing attacking form. As we said, 6 goals over the 2 games over the last couple of days. I mean, Vinny, we spoke last week in your absence about how it's mad how Kieran Kilduff's side haven't won a game yet. They go and win 2 on the bounce and score 6 goals and concede none in the process. Are we finally maybe starting to see that team take shape going forward?
Yeah, I think we always felt there was a bit of shape to that team. I think Conor Cairns is a huge loss. We're under no illusions about that, and we wish him the best. I mean, a very, very serious injury. But I think we've spoken at length about the spine of the team and what they have gone right up to the middle of that team. So, look, I think we'll have to watch the space with Dundalk. I think what you'll find with Dundalk is, particularly being that newly sort of promoted teams, I think they'll have 4 or 5 games where they may lose, draw, and have the odd heavy defeat. But what you have with the team, particularly Horgan, as you've seen, whether it's Declan McDaid, young Kenny, they've got people who can score goals, and I think they'll be okay. I still think for Dundalk to be anywhere other than bottom two is success this season, gives them a chance to build. But they've got a lot to like about them. You know, Danny Mullen, really, really good striker. So they have a lot of things to like about them. I am concerned about what's going to happen in goalkeeping situation now. That's the big concern, because it's such an important position, and as we all know. So my concerns is in goal, but all they can do is beat the teams in front of them. Like, putting 5 past Waterford is a huge statement, and also creates a little bit of confidence in their group. So that was a huge win. And then to back it up against Sligo, they're the teams you got to beat, and they've done it. So hats off to them. They've had a lot of good performances and not got 3 points. Now they've backed it up with 3 points. So it's onwards and upwards for that club.
Yeah, the last couple of results, those wins against Waterford and Sligo, and then going away to Galway and drawing was another huge one. As you said, if you spoke to Kieran Kilduff before the start of the season, he probably would have taken 8th place, and that is where Dundalk would have been aiming for. Could they arguably be aiming for a higher? I mean, you spoke about some of the attacking talent there. I know, Gareth, you're a fan of Danny Mullen, but the goals from the last couple of days, Owen Kenny scored 2, Daryl Horgan scored 2, Declan McDaid scored, you had Ronan Tee, another attacking midfielder, who scored as well. We're not including Bamia Ruby. We're not including Ali Mullen. There's a lot of more players to chip in with goals going forward there. Could we see Dundalk maybe aim higher than just finishing outside of the relegation spots?
Yeah, I think I definitely didn't see enough of them last year when they were in the first division. But when they came up, having watched the performances have been really good. They haven't got the wins. Now they've got the 2 wins. I was really impressed with them up in Derry. I said it in the podcast last week. They should have won that game. Derry kind of robbed them performance-wise, aggression-wise. Kind of pressing, their direct play was really good. Aruby really impressed me. I mean, Danny Mullen, I've seen loads of last year at the Brandywell. He will get goals. If he's coming off the bench, he'll still get goals. If he starts games, he'll get goals. But Aruby's been really good. Powerful runner. Is actually good on the ball as well. He would remind you a wee bit of Alua in Drogheda. And he can play. He scored a great goal recently. Owen Kenny in behind as well, scoring goals. That's the key as well. And even touching, I know we touched on Bowes about Hickey and Todd. See if you can get your defenders chipping in with goals, your midfielders chipping in with goals, and not relying on 2 or 3 front players, it's a massive, massive difference. And you can see that with Dundalk. Everyone's having to chip in because they're not going to rely on Anarubi or Mullen. They have to all chip in with important goals and then keeping them out as well. I know it was only one game, but Minogue's save from Gareth McElroy at the weekend was huge. I mean, the ball was almost behind him from the header, from the set piece. That'll do his confidence a world of good. Can they go and pick up a goalkeeper? Vinny's probably right. Can this guy kind of go all season in nets? That would be a big ask, but where do you go and pick up a goalkeeper at this time of the year? So that's going to be a big challenge for them. But no, I think overall performances have been very good.
Vinny, I was going to ask you that as a manager. I'm trying to think if you've ever been in the situation, but like, what do you do when you lose your number one, especially when you've got a keeper as good as Conor Kearns in a side that have just came up from the first division? How do you even tackle that?
It's really difficult. I think Conor Kearns was one of the best bits of business all season to be able to get him from Shelbourne, and I think he's one of the top 5-6 goalkeepers in the country. So when you get a promoted team able to pick one of those keepers up effectively on loan, your quid's in. And you would have, you know, when you're building a squad and you've got a tight budget, you might allocate a little bit extra for outfield players because you'll say, you know, you probably won't overspend on your number two because I think Conor was such a shoe-in to be number one. So, you've got to know, like every scout in the world will know or will find out fairly soon that you have availability for number one. So somebody that's out of contract now and needs some playing time will be made available to the club. Whether that fits or not, or whether you can afford to pay his wages is another thing. So you've got to scour the world market now at this stage, and you've got to see, can you come up with somebody? Or else, are they happy with what they have? I mean, That's the challenge. But what Dundalk are very similar to a lot of clubs in terms of, you look at Dundalk and you think there's a little bit of strength and depth there in terms of able to make some changes, and whether it's Tyreek Wilson, McDade, Buckley, Danny Mullen, the four of them sort of came on for each other and you're like, okay, you've got options. But what we've seen a little bit this weekend, and we might get onto it later on in terms of the quality between Friday and Monday, there's not huge strength and depth in our league. And Dundalk are like no different to anybody else. A couple of injuries, I think they struggle. So getting points on the board, particularly against teams around you, are really important. So it's a difficult one for the manager. As I said, he's probably back Conor Kearns to be his number one all season and maybe spend some cash in other areas. So we'll have to wait and see what they can come up with.
It's going to be very interesting to follow that one along. You spoke there about strength and depth, Vinny. I mean, I was reading Tiernan Lynch's comments after the game last Friday night, and he simply said, Derry have too many players. Now, a respectable nil-all away to St. Pat's on Monday night, which with a lot of changes in the team. We saw Adam O'Reilly was on the bench on Monday night. We saw young Riley's come in from Charlton, is on the bench after a good performance probably on Friday against Shelburne. I mean, Gareth, what is going on here? Friday against Drogheda. Looks like it'll be the last game before you move to Celtic Park for a couple of weeks during the summer months. Tiernan Lynch under big, big pressure.
I wouldn't say big, big pressure, but any manager that brings in 25 players in three windows and says he's got too many players, that is the maddest comment I've ever had. Now, I haven't heard them comments, but if you're telling me that he said that, that is crazy. That's baffling. Back to the performances. The performance against Shells for the first 45 minutes in the Brandywell on Friday night was probably the best I've seen Derry play. They were really good. They played 3-4-3 and they were excellent. They pressured the Shelburne. They pushed them back. Shelburne couldn't get out. They created half chance after half chance, set piece after set piece, and it was really good. I do not know what happened at halftime in the dressing room, but they came out and it was back to the same old Derry City that we've been watching for 4 or 5 weeks. It wasn't good. They were excellent again on Monday night. I was up at the game in Richmond Park. Defensively, they were good. Looked a little bit threatening on the counter-attack. Young Josh Thomas had a great chance towards the end that he really should have taken in and slotted past the keeper with the quality that he has. But defensively, they were much better. And again, Tiernan went back to the three at the back. That's what he's best at. That's where he feels comfortable coaching. So I thought it was a good, and only they only got 1 point out of the two games. I thought it was much improved performances from Derry, but they say that he's too many players is baffling to me. And you know what? Now that you say that and you've said that, he made two substitutes on Friday night against Shelburne. Adam O'Reilly had his best 45 minutes since I've seen him come to the club on Friday night against Shelburne. And he took him off after an hour. Could not understand it. He then took off Ryla on the right-hand side, who was causing all sorts of problems, and scored a wonderful goal. I just, it's baffling the substitutes that he made. And then he didn't start either player on Monday night. I thought he might have rested them for Monday night, but it just doesn't. And so, although he's got the formation right, they look stronger. It's baffling. And it's losing the momentum in the games as well when he's making these substitutes. So, I don't know why both didn't start. I mean, Riley didn't even come on against Pats, because Turner was pushing on the left-hand side against Pats. It was obviously a tactic Stephen Kenny was using to get at Derry's right-hand side, who were very good on the night. But it was perfect for someone with a little bit of pace, a little bit of trickery, to get at Turner on that left side of defence for Pats, and it never happened. So a little bit of confusion on the substitute sides, but they say you've too many players. Crazy talk.
Therein lies the problem for me, Garrett. You've seen them twice. I only seen them against Pats. So I think they were improved on Monday night in terms of what I'd seen earlier on, but they were still awful in the grand scheme of things, right? And what I mean by that is both teams were awful. On the Friday come Monday game, it was a really poor game of football. Nothing outside of the mess of the substitutes was anything in any way, shape or form exciting. There was the odd chance. Roman Palmer should have got a penalty. McLean got himself too tight.
It's never a penalty.
Okay. But Thomas maybe should have hit the target. A couple of crosses here and there. But like, the reason why you didn't get at Turner, for argument's sake, who had a poor night, is the shape of the team. I mean, Michael Duffy, and I know he's done it for a year playing narrow, you're taking away. Michael was poor on the night by his standards. And I'm allowed to say that because I think the world knows what I think of Michael. Really, really poor performance. It doesn't look like that sort of position suits him. It doesn't suit him. You're right, Adam O'Reilly done quite well. But both teams are guilty of this. Both teams went into that game and said, let's not get beat tonight. And a lot of teams are doing that. It was a really poor performance from both. It suited Derry. And this is the problem with Derry, Garrett, is Olienka done really well in midfield. I've been impressed with him. I was like, Grant, he mightn't even start this weekend. Like you said, Ryla on Friday night was really good. And he won't start then the following night. I have no idea what's going on in Derry. I'm really confused. They've got a lot of good players. Their shape and their system is wrong. Maybe a back three, as the both teams played that 3-4-3, if you want to call it. But Derry played Michael Duffy and Clark behind a striker.
Markey.
It didn't work because your two attacking flares, Markey and Michael, are too deep. You're not affecting the Pats back three. So Pats had to deal with Depo, who done okay at times, 1-3. The game was a bore fest. And we need the Friday Monday isn't working in our league. And I know there's a rare occasions or different times where it does work. But some of the games on Monday, I was watching highlights of Shells and Bowls. It's awful. Awful. I was disappointed on Monday. And I accept your point there. You played a little bit better. But manager, the club, whoever it is, maybe do have too many players, because they'd be better only having 12, 13 top-class players and picking 11, because the chopping and changing is off the charts and you can't find a rhythm. And yeah, well, the system is important, Michael.
It's a partnership that's killing me. I mean, you would have maybe a back three or two in midfield and it's changed every week. And then this is in a dressing room as a player, Vinny, when you do well, you see somebody else coming on and doing well. So they've busted their arse for 3 weeks in training. They actually get a chance. They score a goal and they play right well in the right midfield. The balls that Ryla was putting on Friday night against Shelburne were incredible. Really, really positive and aggressive as well. Like basically what the crowd have been missing and what Derry have been missing. Then he doesn't even get on the pitch on the Monday night. And I was thinking, oh, he must have a knock. But I stayed on afterwards to watch, and he's doing the running, the box-to-boxes at the end of the game. So there's nothing wrong with him. Again, I'm Adam O'Reilly the same. Really, really strange. But I think the onus was on Pats on Monday night to go and win the game. I think Derry were happy to contain them.
Yeah, but that's nonsense, Garrett, as well. A big win is for both teams. Derry need a big win to kickstart the season. By the way, Pats were awful as well. James Brown gave them a bit of attack and threat. Pats were awful. They're three. Like, what are you doing, Stephen Kenny? That's shape with two up front. Aidan Keane are playing as just off the strike. He was sort of a 9.5, we'll call it. He was a 10. It doesn't suit his game. He's got a couple of nice touches here and there. And you're just going, come on, lads. Derry would be at their best if Royler plays on the right wing, Mikey plays on the left wing, out and out, and whoever it is, Depot or Thomas up front, and have play Markey at different stages, particularly at home in your 10, and have a bit of flair about you. Adam O'Reilly beside James or whoever. But, like, stop changing everything and have a go. Too many teams now on Monday night went into the games and said, let's not get beat.
Yeah.
And the big benefit to the weekend was Dundalk.
Dundalk and Galway, they needed to be one of them home games against teams in and around them. They were the two big winners on Monday night. It didn't do anybody any favours, the Derry and Pats. And now it just means that the match, and Derry have been on a poor run. That's why I think it was a better result for Derry. Away to one of your European contenders, if you like. Now they're going to Drogheda. And this, as Ben says, this is when, to me, Tiernan Lynch has lacked. I know Tiernan Lynch will go away to Daly Mount, go away to Richmond Park, go away to Tala, set up a team, three at the back, be hard to beat, create a few chances on the counter-attack. See it home to teams like Sligo, Waterford, Dundalk, and now Drogheda. This is where he struggles as a manager, right?
Yeah, lads, I'm okay with that.
Can I ask you quickly about that Friday, Monday? Because I've spoken to Stephen Bradley a couple of times over the last couple of weeks, and he made 8 changes between a Friday and a Monday before, and he just simply said, this is too quick of a turnaround. What do we do then if we're seeing games like we saw on Monday night where 4 of them were nil all until basically near the end of it, and a couple of them end in nil all? What do we do then, fixture-wise?
You don't need to make 8 changes. Stephen knows more about managing his group than I do, but that's too many changes. I've been there, wore the T-shirt, didn't have to make that many changes. I would always, because I had 4 top-class centre-halves by accident, I used to change my centre-halves. You don't need to make that many changes. You don't need to leave out your top-class. Players can play. And, I mean, if we're going to sit here and say, which some of the pundits do around the League of Ireland, saying such and such should be in the Ireland squad. Like, our players aren't capable of going Friday, Monday, Friday and put top-class performances in. Then they never get a game in the Championship where you have to play 48 games a season. So, like, what's the point I'm making there is you're either a top-class player or a player of a certain level. Friday, Monday, Friday is not that difficult. Now, what we don't know is, for example, Derry may have had an injury to, say, Adam O'Reilly. We don't know that, so we're not in the dressing room. I'm sitting on the cheap seat here picking a team for Derry, for argument's sake. So there's sometimes you don't need 8 changes Friday, Monday, Friday. You just don't need that. Players don't want that. Players are good enough to play Friday, Monday. Healy doesn't have to come out, generally. So if he doesn't have to, why should Jack Bourne have to come out? So I just don't agree with that. The problem is not Friday, Monday, Friday, Ben, every so often. It's that we have a lack of strength and depth in our squad, and we've probably in our squads. And there's a reason why the standard drops, because we can't compete with the likes of the Championship or League One, where they play 48 games a week. And that's why, ultimately, when a lot of our players go over, they struggle, because they're not able to play 48 games a season and be 8 and 9 out of 10 to stay at that level.
It's just harsh. Just before we move off from Derry, I saw a stat there yesterday. From the starting 11 that played for Derry at Pats on Monday, Michael Duffy was the only player in the starting 11 that started the last game at Richmond Park last year. So that's maybe just a little word on the amount of players that are going in and out the door at Derry City. A couple of probably fixtures that Derry will be targeting after the international break. I know they're all away from home, or a couple of them away from home. But you've Drogheda on Friday, then you've Galway United, Sligo Rovers and Dundalk. So they're games that Derry will surely be fancying after the international break. We spoke briefly about Shamrock Rovers there. A probably routine 2-0 win over Sligo Rovers in the Battle of the Rovers on Friday night, and then a nil-all draw with Drogheda on the Monday. It hasn't been a great start to the season for Stephen Bradley's side, but look, we're accustomed to this as the European exploits are going on and on as the seasons go on. I mean, I just wrote down a list of a couple of the attacking options. Graham Burke, Michael Noonan, Jack Byrne, Adam Brennan, Victor Osimvuna, John McGovern, Jake Mulroney, Aaron Green, Conor Malley, Danny Grant, and now you have Malis Asamoah in as well. Is that simply too many attacking players?
No. No, I mean, you've got to find a balance with that. That's my point. I mean, it's about letting players find a little bit of rhythm. So the Friday, Monday for a club like Rovers to make a few changes on the Monday's fine, that's grand. This myth of Rovers start league slowly, I get it. I understand why people think that. But one of the reasons they've got away with it for a number of years is nobody has pushed them for a league title in 4 or 5 years. The year Shells did, and ultimately Shells ended up falling over the line. You won't get away with that slow start if you had a top-class team competing against you, okay? They won't get away with that. They are getting away with it because, I'm like Cranky Vinny today, but they're getting away with it because nobody has pushed them. Like, I don't know whether you agree or disagree, Gareth, but like over the last years outside of Shells, they've won the league in third gear. They've been able to have a slow start.
Yeah, nobody's really put serious pressure on them. And you mentioned there about 8 changes. I mean, this is, to me, is greatest superpower, Stephen Bradley, is keeping all these boys happy all the time, year in, year out. And you have to, A, communicate with them really clearly and have an idea of what you're going to do. Then they've got Europe, of course, as well. He can promise them that they're going to be playing Europe. But Vinny's right as well. I mean, even when Derry were pushing them the close, I mean, last year the table doesn't tell the true reflection. It says that Rovers beat Derry by X amount of points. They could have it wrapped up 4 or 5 games before that. Nobody, and in fairness, Shelburne's the only team that's put them under real pressure and made them uncomfortable, and they weren't able to bring it back. So, but where's that club going to come from, Vinny? Is it going to be Bowes? Is it going to be Pats? I mean, when you look at the amount of the good quality players Pats hadn't got available the other night.
I don't know. I mean, I was disappointed in Pats the other day. I was really disappointed. If Stephen Kenny gets back to himself, I'm saying that, if he gets back to himself and goes and win games, he didn't go and win the game the other day. The 3-4... whatever shape he played the other day. I'm not sure McClelland as a left wing back. I understand James Brown. Like Turner as a left side coming out with the ball didn't really suit them. Lennon, you look at that midfield, Palmer and Bagley, really nice footballers. And we've a lot of nice footballers in our league. Have we got a lot of people who go and, do you know what I'm trying to say, grab the game by the scruff of the neck? I tell you how you know if Rovers are top class and as good as I think they are, by the way. Feels like I'm being critical. I think they're brilliant. Is Bowes go and win 6, 7, 8 of the next 10 games? Because then, you know when you're nil all at half-time and you're trying to win a league? Well, if a team is 9 points or 8 points ahead of you when Rovers have the slow start, let's say, then you go and take risks and you take chances and you put an extra body forward and you take a midfielder up and you put attacking player on and you get done on the counter attack. But you know the way Rovers are just sauntering along and only always a couple of points behind after the slow start? You don't need to take the same risks. So there's very little pressure on you. And that's the pressure I'm talking about. Saying 10 minutes to go, let's throw the kitchen sink at a team and leaving the back door open. So I'd like to see them tested just to see how good this new group is. And that's the challenge. I think on paper, Pats could be, but I'd like to see more from Pats than what I seen the other night. Gareth, I don't know about you. Did you see a team that's going to go out and win a league title?
Yeah, I just looked at the people that were missing. Albazetti, Power, Levy, like Lennon. Like, they had a lot of good quality missing. And I liked Edmondson as well up front. That's the first time I saw him live. Very, very good. Very physical. I think he'll suit the league. And he's quick. He beat Stott into the corner after about 7 or 8 minutes. And I was going, ooh, this boy can move too. So I think they can once he gets it right. But I don't know how quickly he's going to get them back, whether they're going to be up to speed right quickly enough. But I think he's got the guts of a decent squad there, especially with James Brown on the right. I think Clayton was okay on the left-hand side. I like Nugent, by the way. He was excellent on the night. Very good. I think he's got a player there. I think if you play him beside Lennon, I think the other players in front of them, whether it be three or two, can really go and take chances. And the wing-backs can take chances as well, because defensively they're excellent. I just saw something that I didn't see last year in Pats. That's why it's got me a little bit more encouraged of they could do something this year.
Yeah, but sorry, Ben, George, you're hosting. Let me ask Garrett one more question. Like, they didn't already create chances the other day. Yeah. Playing two strikers, Keane and Edmondson, they didn't create chances.
Yeah, like, but they were...
James Brown got to the end line so many times, his crosses were really poor in the first half. Derry would have better side at halftime.
Yeah, but you got to remember, Levy's a massive creative mass. Mm. El Bezzetti, power. I know what you're saying.
Everybody's got injuries, Garrett. Everybody. Yeah,
I know that, but they're three of the creative players that are injured. Like, if you had one or two of them injured and you're relying on the other one, I just saw enough. They look far more solid and far more together. I could see what they were trying to do compared to last year. So we'll see.
Do you think maybe Pats would be better off, like you spoke about Keane and Edmondson playing up top together, having an Edmondson or Keane or Mata, whichever one of the three, as kind of that focal figure, and then say Levy and Palmer playing off them, rather than the two of them up there together where they're a little bit too similar? Like, as you said, Keane is not a number 10, whereas Palmer and Levy are exactly that. They are those creative players. Are they better off maybe dropping one of those strikers and having two attacking players around the striker?
Yeah. Which is because the maybe Keane is going to be their number 10, or this one that is between them in this system, and he's going to get better. And maybe I caught him on a bad day. I know he's a really good player, Keane, but it looked like Pats were halfway to something and nothing the other day. That's the point about is Callan really a wing back? Is Turner really a left sided centre half of a three? Okay, and why is that important? Because so often your right and your left centre half of a three, if you go back to Cleary at his best, breaking for Rovers, they're freeing up that space, lots of crosses in the box. You know, that left of a three is important. And he came out with the ball. He had a bad night. He's a decent player, but didn't have a good night. So it looks like they're halfway to something, nothing with shapes. They don't know the best. They've signed three centre, or they've got three centre forwards. All of them are really good. Unless you play a 4-4-2, I change it up. With the best team for me is the Levy off a striker. Is, you know, Zach Elbazetti on one side. You may have McClelland on another, or Power at the very best. Brown flying from fullback, and Redmond and Hoare are going to be as good as anybody at centre half. I just think they need to get back to that and go and win games, and go and attack teams, concede the odd goal, and play the Stephen Kenny way. I haven't seen that at all this season. And they've won some games, winnable games, and they've gone and done that, and fair play to them. But there's an opportunity this year, I think, to push Rovers all the way. And Pats are in the mix for that. Balls are definitely in the mix for that. Are they going to do it? I don't know.
And if you remember as well, last year, defensively, they were excellent. They had the best defence. Hoare was brilliant the other night. He never gave Debo a snuff. Debo was quite good on Friday night against Shells. But, and then you've got a nine behind that as well. So defensively, I think they look good. It's just getting that kind of, getting the partnerships going forward, whether that be wing-backs or tens or strikers, that's hard to get. And he just needs to get it right, because he's got plenty of options.
I think Joey Anang might be a big miss in the summer as well, if he goes off to the United States with Ghana. Pats, I know that defence is brilliant and he's been a huge part of that. We might just move to the other side of the table for a couple of minutes. I mean, when people saw the fixtures on Monday night, they might have been thinking, what were the TV cameras doing covering Galway versus Waterford? And how right they were, lads. 4-3 on the night. Two wins for John Caulfield's men so far this season. A home to Sligo Rovers and a home to Waterford. I mean, they're exactly the type of games. If you pick up those wins throughout the season against a team that are going to be around you, you will more than likely stay up.
Yeah, what a game of football. What a game of football. And you know what as well? I watched the highlights, 4-3. It could have been 6-4 easily, the Galway. I mean, Wolf hit the post after about 6 minutes. McMullen actually played well, and that's for Waterford. But some great goals, great bits of play. And you're right, Galway, home to Waterford. He will have looked at home to Waterford, home to Dundalk, home to Sligo twice. If you can get 15 points from all that, that'll be a serious return. But a some result for John Caulfield. And of course Pirro as well getting off the mark. Twardick flying. He'll be you know what I was looking as well? They lost Hickey last year, and I said this about Bowes getting Hickey, about the set piece threat and defensive stability. You look at the physicality now that John Caulfield has got on. You've got Twardick, Ola Williams, Pirro, Wolf and Walsh. Like, they're all big boys. They're all going to cause you serious problems. And then we have to mention Aaron Bulger's pass for the first goal for Twardick. If Healy or even Devoy plays that pass, we're raving about it. It was unbelievable. Straight through and behind the left back, and Twardick finished it well. So Caulfield will be buzzing.
Vinny, can I ask you about a man who's came up top, Franz Pirro, who we're probably not going to see him fully fit for a couple of weeks. But I mean, when I saw the signing break at first, I kind of thought, geez, that's some signing for a side who are probably going to be battling out down the bottom to get. Is he the type of player who can literally make the difference come the end of the season and score you 9 to 12 goals and directly keep you up?
Yeah, he is, absolutely. And particularly in those tight games. I mean, a very simplistic way to look at it from Galway's point of view is, so you'd expect Sligo, Waterford and Dundalk to be in around them in terms of who's bottom, second from bottom. Okay, so in those three teams you played 4 times, there's 36 points to play for. So if you end up somewhere between 26 and 36 out of them games alone, you will stay up. Because you'll win 3-4 other games and you'll get yourself over the threshold, okay? So the importance against teams against like that, against that are around you, and being really up for those sort of, call them 6-pointers, whatever the way of putting it is. And then what do you need for that to happen? You need to be built soundly from a defensive point of view, but you need someone to steal the big moments. And I think having him in that sort of, sort of ready and fit and available, he'll be the difference maker to get them over the line, you feel. Particularly when it comes to Waterford, and now Waterford and Pádraig Amond, but Waterford and Sligo, it feels like Galway have a couple more lads now after those couple of signings, as much as we all thought they'd struggle. And I still think they'll have bad run at some stages, but the points on the board are huge. You feel like he'll be the difference maker in keeping them up this year. And, you know, I think it's up for grabs between, I think the top four will be the top sort of four Dublin clubs. Derry will obviously try and break into that. And then after that, anyone can finish sort of fifth, sixth. And I think Galway, Dundalk are part of that argument. I think it's no doubt two of the bottom three will be Waterford and Sligo. It's who else, or if they can drag someone else into that mix with them. So Pirro, yeah, 100%. You can see him getting somewhere between 10 and 15 goals, and that's going to be probably enough to keep them up, you think.
The side that they beat, obviously Waterford, are right down there now, well and truly in the relegation battle. No goals this season, or no wins this season, excuse me. 9 goals shipped over the 2 games. John Mann looks like he's going to have extended spell on the sidelines. Kevin Long has come in the door. We've yet to see him obviously make an appearance yet. That'll be coming soon. Would you worry for John Daly's future at the club? I know we spoke a little bit about him last week, Gareth, about maybe switching the team around and trying to get the best out of Conan Noonan. We saw Pádraig Amond finally get a goal as well over the weekend. Would you worry for Daly's future going forward?
Yeah, I mean, if you go away to Galway and you score 3 goals and you don't come away with anything, you'll be bitterly disappointed. I mean, the penalty just before half time is such a big stage in the game. I mean, if they go in 2-1 up at half time, they're in a good place. Although they weren't great and their goalkeepers played well, I think the game, they would have a better chance of getting something from the game. I mean, if you play Mansfield and Cann as your centre half partnership. Although Ken's very good, and I saw him a lot in the Brandywell last year, I really like him. He's still relatively young, as Mansfield is as well. Getting long on there is a massive, massive bonus for them. Even for his experience, his communication, to be able to manage games. I mean, stages of that game against Galway, you could have said, right, we just need to sit in now and contain them, because they were under a lot of pressure, especially very, very early on. And I've watched Waterford up in the Brandywell, and I was very impressed with them going forward. You mentioned all those attacking players. They can all play football and they will create chances. It's just defensively, they need to get it right. And Kevin Long, although he's getting on, I think he'll be a good addition, and John Deal will be buzzing to get him on.
Vinny, how do you go about fitting in all the attacking talent? Lonergan, Paul Jammin, Cardy, you've Noonan going forward as well, while also, when you're in that relegation, probably the most important thing is stopping leaking goals. How do you find that balance?
It's difficult because I think the first game of the season they played, they changed up the team. They sort of went to a 4-4-2 and put Noonan into the team. And the second half against Chelsea were excellent. Then a couple of weeks ago against Bowles, they were really poor and went to a back three at halftime. So John is searching. He's searching for the best formation, the best way of playing. I think Almond, Noonan, Lonergan, you know, you've got to get them into the team. I think ultimately a tight 4-4-2 when you're in a bit of trouble, it's pretty basic football, but they've got, like, obviously, losing Mann is a big loss. Long will come in and help them. But they've got a couple of good players. Like, they've got the nucleus of a good team. I think they need a little bit of luck to go their way. I think they've been a bit unlucky in a couple of games. They should have won the game against Shell, first game of the season. But it's getting away from them at the moment. I think over the next week or two, they need a big win, and a big win soon. So for me, if I was giving John any advice, not that he'd listen, is a very simple, tight, narrow 4-4-2, and hope that Lonergan, Noonan, a bit of magic, or Almond ultimately takes the big moments for you. So that hasn't happened. A big penalty miss by Podge a couple of weeks ago as well. So a lot of stuff just hasn't gone their way.
And they need a win coming soon, and Pat's on the weekend isn't exactly the nicest of prospects to face a team who haven't lost in a long while, albeit, as you said, slightly disappointed with their performance on Monday night. I suppose the only good news is that the other teams around there don't exactly have too nice a fixture list this weekend as well. Sligo Rovers host Sherburn on the Saturday. Drogheda go away to Derry City on Friday night. If we look at that game briefly, Sligo Rovers versus Shelburne. Shells with a big win against Derry on Friday night, and then a pretty drab nil-all draw Bohemians. As we said, more happened before the game than happened during the game, really, at a sold-out Talca Park on Monday night. Oran Casey looks like he's going to be out for a little bit longer. People thought he would at the start of the season. They know he's got a hamstring issue. Paddy Barrett will be back probably sooner than him. Where do you really go here for Joey O'Brien's men when you've two players who you know are mainstays, a centre-half for you going forward, and you really have a makeshift back four slash back five? I mean, we've seen over the last couple of weeks, young James Roach has gone in there. Milan Beng was in there. He's injured. Sean Gannon slotted into centre-half. Sam Bowen is slotted into centre-half. How do you find any sort of consistency?
That's the problem, isn't it, with Shells? I mean, on paper, Shells have an outstanding squad. They've got so many options going forward. Whether Jarvis is finding his feet, but Harry Wood has been excellent. Daniel Kelly's done really well at different stages. We know John Martin, Boyd, has goals in them. They even have Ellis Chapman in there, who's, since he's left Sligo, has just fallen off a cliff, like, which is really concerning. So there's a lot to like about Shelbourne, but ultimately, if you're built on sand, which they are, while their main centre-halves are injured, you have a problem. So just got to get through the next couple of weeks, get Paddy Barrett fit. It feels like, you know, Sam Bowen, I think, is an important player for them over the next week or two, trying to keep him fit as well. So it just has to be built on whether it's Gannon playing centre-half at different stages, which isn't by far Sean's best position. They just got to get through games as much as possible with a clean sheet, because they've got the firepower up front, and it's just a worry that by the time they get Casey back, who's a brilliant sign, and Barrett back, and a couple of options at centre half, the league could be gone from them could be long gone. It could be a long, long way back. Like, we talk about Rovers' slow start, but this is different for Shells. It's just getting away from them a little bit. And you can always chase one team down, particularly for Shamrock Rovers, or I don't think you can chase two or three down if you're Shells. So it's just getting away from them at the moment.
Yeah, yes. I'll throw it to you quickly in a second, Gareth, but I noticed when we had that chat earlier and you spoke about maybe Pat's challenging or Bowes challenging, none of us mentioned Shelburne at all, really. And I suppose that is just a case of where they are at the moment. Do you think they can kind of turn around, Gareth? It's so hard with those centre-halves to even look, what's this team going to look like in 7 or 8 weeks' time? But how do you even go about mounting to get back on the horse to challenge for top spot?
Yeah, they've just been very unlucky with the two injuries. I mean, Barrett, we talked about the year they won the league, he should have got player of the year. He's just so important to them. But then having to go and spend all the money on Casey, over 100,000, and for him to get such a bad injury as well, it's very unfortunate. And had those injuries happened, hindsight's wonderful, but the second half of the year, the first half of the year is so stacked with fixtures, Friday, Monday. It's so important to get off to a good start. We saw that the year Shells won the league. They got off to that incredible start, and it was a foundation for them to go and end up taking the title. So it's really difficult. The only thing I would say is Shells need to start, kind of like Pat's taking a few chances, against Bowes there and in the Brandywell other night, Harry Wood was unplayable. He was absolutely outstanding. He was the best player in the pitch by a country mile, him and Henry Francis. So they almost need to combat the defensive frailties. They almost need to go and shoot themselves to 3 points and a couple of wins. Because it's not as if they've got kids in there like Ledwich and Rossi in particular. These boys are good players. They just lack a wee bit of confidence. So if the boys up the top go and fire in a couple of goals and get a couple of wins, I think they'll be fine and they'll start putting ones together. But it's fine margins. They just need to go and be more aggressive, I think, in going and winning games. Very similar to what we said about Pat.
Yeah, and I think if you have Harry Wood up the other end of the pitch, he can always come up with a moment for you. I've seen Chelsea twice now in person so far this season. It was the Pats game and then the Rovers game on the Monday following. I mean, he was absolutely superb. I think the midfield probably is another big one. Like, not being able to have a fully fit first choice Kerr McEnroy, JJ Lunny and Jack Henry Francis especially really to choose from has really hindered them. If we just touch the two clubs we haven't touched on yet, both down the bottom, Drogheda, I mean, a big draw, I suppose, on Monday night against Shamrock Rovers, but they started the season with two wins and looked really, really impressive against Galway United and Waterford. They haven't been able to win a game since. It was a 4-1 loss against St Pat's on Friday. Would you be a little bit worried if you're a Drogheda United fan going forward, Vinny?
No, I think they've enough about them to be okay. What is okay for Drogheda? They won't be in a relegation battle. And will they push for Europe? Possibly not this year. I think Pat's, the top three, we'll see what way the cup goes, but the top three will probably be the current top three at the end of the season. So can they push Shells or Derry, if it happens to be them, for that fourth place? It's going to be a big struggle. They've got enough about them. The one thing is, when you play the way Drogheda play, and it's much talked about, and people think, oh, you have a big hardened view, and I don't. You're entitled to play the game the way you want to. But if you play that way, the more you do that, the more teams find a way to stop you. They find a way just to adapt, whether it's those long trolls, whether it's those second phases, whether sometimes Drogheda get a free kick. I've seen some teams, the odd team, leave two up front. That means Drogheda have to leave three back, and they're not as much as a threat. So they have to come up with different ways. And to be fair, I think Doyle will add that a little bit to them. The loss of Markey is obviously huge for them. But they'll be fine. They'll be comfortable. You think, listening to Kevin the other day, that the world has ended. I get it. After the defeat against Pats, they've had a couple of bad results, sadly to ship against Shamrock Rovers. So, again, on the Monday night, if I hear anyone else saying this, particularly Gareth McGlynn, that managers target Monday night, they don't target Monday night. It's nonsense. Just win the next game in front of you. Because anyone that targeted Monday night this week failed.
Hey, John Caulfield targeted.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
Hold on a minute. Hold on a minute. John Caulfield at home to Waterford on a Monday night. Who did they play last Friday? Can't even remember now.
You can't even remember, so you don't know what you're talking about.
No, who did they play last Friday night?
They played Dundalk, and he didn't say, "Oh, we've been to Dundalk game and we beat Waterford." So he
didn't. Bad example.
It was the 1-0 win for Bohemians against Galway United.
In Dalyma Park. You're trying to tell me that he said, you know what, we're going to concentrate on the Bows match and we're not going to focus on the Waterford match. Home day, the teams around you. You just said it about 20 minutes ago about how important those home games are against Sligo, Dundalk and Waterford.
When you're trying to win the league, yeah.
Hey?
When you're trying to win the league.
I know, but he's not going to stay in the league. He's not trying to win a league. John Caulfield?
Yeah, but I was saying the Friday, Monday for trying to win a league is huge.
Oh, yeah, no, completely different. Sorry. I'm talking about teams trying to stay up. They've got to, and teams with lack of depth, they've got to focus on, if Monday night is the more winnable fixture, they've got to focus on that and got to prioritise it. That's when I talked about that, that's what I meant.
Folks, we're just about out of time for everything this week. I'll let Gareth and Vinny continue bickering on once the cameras are off. Don't worry, they will. Vinny, Gareth, thanks a million for joining me this week.
Cheers, Ben.
Cheers, Ben.
Thanks a million for listening. Stephen Doyle will be back with you all after the international break. Enjoy the Friday names. Gurmina Mahagwiv, Slán.
The Yellow iPod on Off the Ball. Catch live and exclusive national radio commentary of the Men's League of Ireland Premier Division on Off the Ball all season.